here, isn't it? Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are we all doing? Good, good, good. Happy New Year. Oh, the blues. Oh, no. Who's got to go back to work tomorrow? Yeah, great. Happy days, hey. How are the New Year's resolutions come along? Who decided that they were going to eat less or eat more healthy? Who has eaten less or more healthily? No. January starts. Who decided they're going to lie less? Oh, yeah. As well, January starts on the 4th, doesn't it? When we go back to work. This doesn't count, this little sort of period as well. I decided that. I want to start, actually, with a bit of a thank you. I want to thank you all for coming this morning. Because I'm sitting at the back and I think there's people who've come quite a long distance have come here this morning. And welcome to you if you've come this long way. We've got people who've come from different countries this morning. We've got people who come from all over the world. But also we've got people who've come from kind of like the other side of Bristol. And some people have cycled here and got buses here. And some people have got people sick at home here and things like that. And I think it's great. And I think thank you all for coming as well. And thank you for all for continuing to come. I'm Andy, by the way. Andy Newman. I'm one of the leaders here, if you don't know me. And as you'll say, I've been coming here, I've worked out in a week, about 29 years, something like that. I think it is, something like that. And I've got to confess, okay, the first time I came in here, I came from quite a charismatic church and it was all happy clappy, all right? And we used to do two things in my old church, okay? It's got nothing to do with the message this morning, by the way, so I'm just waffling. We used to say, yeah, there's two types of churches. There's kiddie special and ham sandwiches, right? Kiddie special was from the chip shop around the corner from my church. And you used to get chips, beans, sausages and something else all in one pot. And it was all mashed up. And that was a kiddie special. It's disgusting, but everything. So you didn't quite know what you were going to get next, all right? And then you had brethren churches where hymn, prayer. So it was a sandwich, you see. I don't know where it came from, but that's what it was like, you see, as well. That's what we came to. So it's very different for me. But that was a long time ago, and it's great. And in this church, okay, one of the things that always struck me, and has always been the case, is I think it's a very caring and loving church, okay? People are always welcome. You are always welcome. And if you've got troubles and things like that, talk to someone. And people are always there to help. And I've always found that. I've always been able to go to somebody's house for some food when I'm hungry as well. And you're welcome as well, that kind of thing. Lots and lots of stuff, lots and lots of stories. And it's great. And I think, you know what I mean? God's church across the whole of the world is shown here because wherever that is, you can come to and you can find some Christians and you're always welcome. You're always welcome. And that's always the way, you see. And so this morning, I start and I've been given the subject of vision. Vision. And do you know what? I spent a fair amount of time thinking, well, what do I do? What do we do for this vision? This is the start of 2016. This is the first Sunday of 2016. Okay? I remember the year 2000 too well. It does make you feel a bit old, actually. I've got to admit in there. And it's 2016. And so what is it that we want to do going forward? And do you know, I thought, we could have something, we could kind of get everybody and say, right, let's all get really empowered and we're all going to go and set the vision that we're all going to go, I don't know, to somewhere in the world to do some support or something. We could do some big thing. What is it that we want for the church? And I thought quite a fair bit about this and I thought, there's a lot of stuff that we could kind of do in that sort of way. But fortunately, something really struck me. And you may have noticed this. At the bottom of each of our slides, it's got the text, building a Christian community for the community. I don't know if you noticed that. I know we've kind of spoken about it, and some of you, this might be your first time. Just look down there. On every one of our slides, we have building a Christian community for the community. What that means is we're trying to help in this church and in every church to just build up the people in the church. Not just for the purpose of the people in the church, but for outside. For the people in the church to grow, but also for the community. And that community is either just physically around this church, is around our homes, wherever we've come from, and wherever in the world. That's God's community. And I thought, wow, there's quite a lot in that. And I want to read I've not got a lot of slides this morning, but you'll be happy to know, okay? So it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to be doing a lot of exposition and things. But I want to read through this, and sorry, this is the busiest bit, but I want to get everything onto one slide. In Philippians chapter 2, it's titled this, Imitating Christ's Humility. And I'm going to read these verses to you. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, and at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Was it 19% people believe in God? 19%. That's the world that we're living in now. That's the place. Shanika's done a great job setting the scene of the world in which we are in, each and every one of us. And I've had these verses on my mind for quite a long time. They kept coming back to me, particularly the start of this. You see, I find them personally a very great challenge. And I'm going to be honest, I don't consider myself to be a particularly humble person, okay? I'm not a particularly humble person, I don't think. And I read these and they speak to me, but they speak more about just humility. And when we read through these verses, there's three things that I'd like to just kind of pull out of them for us to think about, to remember, and to just kind of mull over. I want you to kind of keep looking at these words and just let them get into you. Let them just sort of absorb you. Just think about what's being said here. Think about the bit that jumps out to you and what touches you this morning. Three things I picked up on. The first one is the people, right at the beginning, were first united with Christ. They became Christians. Their belief was the same. Okay? We in this church are united. They were like-minded. Okay? They came together in Christ. And that gives them a very common goal, a very common understanding in there. The second thing, though, is that Paul is calling the Philippian church to work together. Not as individuals, but to work together, to come together in the things that they do. And that's why it's important that people come, that we join fellowship, that we take time to come together and share. It's important and it's great that you're here, that we are here this morning. You know, there are people who couldn't make it this morning, but a lot of them are here in spirit almost, yeah? And we've got so many things going on, but it's important that we come together as often as we can. You know, they work together when we go through this. Their minds, the things that they thought about, the things that have been called together, are all the same. But what that does is it brings their motivation together. They're not motivated by self, I want this, I want to do that, or anything. there's a common motivation for the people. In whichever church that you normally join in, is there a common motivation in what you do here? That motivation, that ultimate motivation, is Jesus Christ. Their emotions were also common. The things that they worried about. And they had a love and a bond for each other. A care for each other. A worry. If somebody was in trouble, their love was for each other as well. That unity goes just beyond a turning up on a Sunday morning. A doing something. It's way beyond that. And that's what they've come in together. And as a result, their concerns, the things that they worried about, both for each other, but also, I think, in the world, when we're concerned about things that are going on in the world, the facts that Shanika brought to us this morning, doesn't it concern you, doesn't it? We're a Christian country. How many people, I mean, most people in that survey didn't even know if they believed in God or if they don't believe in God. And, well, I believe in God, but there might be an afterlife. There's more people who believe in an afterlife than there is a God. I don't quite know what all that stacks together, really. It kind of... You know, it doesn't make too much sense when you look at it all, but, you know, but the concerns are the same. And that's great. Motivated by Christ, brought together by Christ. And their actions, the things that they did, the things that are brought together, the things that we do together, are selfless. They're not about us. They're not about me and me getting some, I don't know, some praise or... being pleased about something is about, hey, let's come here together because we want to eat. Because we do Sunday lunches once a month and that. Because we want to eat together. And it's great. And everyone's welcome. It doesn't matter if you've not been here for years, if you've never been here before, you're welcome. Because it's great that people can come together and enjoy food and socialise and have a conversation and be together. And that's great. And we can go out into the community in a selfless way, in the way in which we work. The third thing, what are the results of this then? It's all great, but I look at the results, and I look at the bottom of this, and I look at what happened to Jesus. The results were that Jesus was exalted by God. Jesus was exalted by God. Wow. God puts him up there to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. They were united together, they were brought together. And Jesus, in this example, was blessed. And as God's church comes together, we will be blessed. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. And this is a kind of a model. I put this up as a model, as like a template of how we should be working, of how we should look, perhaps, through 2016 together as a church and think, let's continue. Let's continue to build on the great things that are there. I'm not saying here that we are ununified, ununified at all. But let's build on that. Let's just work together. Let's enjoy things together. Let's enjoy these words. Let's be encouraged from being united with Christ. There's a but. There's always a but, isn't there? There's a but. And what's the but, I think? This requires effort, doesn't it? It requires time. Time, some people say, is the most precious thing that we can give. You know, if you're one of those 715,000 millionaires, you can give money probably quite easily, or maybe not, but you can give money, and that people can give things. But sometimes time is the most precious thing that we can give. We think about giving to our children, and what is it they want? Time. They want to spend time with us, don't we? I'm sure we've enjoyed that kind of thing over the Christmas. We've been with family. So as we should be united in the same spirit with Christ, let's all remember, Christ died for us. And if we choose to accept him because he died for us, he will be all of our saviours. And what we should do in our lives, okay, is use Jesus, what did Jesus do, as our example. And we should have a genuine concern for each other. I work with a guy who's he's one of the elders in Chipping Sodbury. And he's just got this passion, right? His position is, unless I tell them about God, they're going to go to hell. Sorry to be blunt, but that's what it is. I've got to tell them what's going on. He went into prison, Lahore prison, not long back. I said, it's clear. Some people do not understand the unfortunate situation that they're in. And unless I tell them, that's the way it is. And he's great because he sits right behind my other boss. And he tells him quite clear. Unfortunately, I know where you're going. Okay? And that. And he's very clear. But you think about that passion, that understanding. How often do we realise, do we think, unless people understand the unfortunate thing is there's only two places we're going to go. It's either heaven or hell. And if we're united with Christ, do we understand that? Let's not be, these passages are saying, not, let's not be arrogant about that and going, I know where I'm going, I'm all right. Because that's not the case. In humility and in love, let's share that. Let's share that passion. Let's look at what Jesus did, because he was the perfect example of humility. He was God's son. He was a king. He was all-powerful, could have done whatever he wanted. He could have had anything. He could have come here in any way. But he came and he served to show his love. That's the example. He didn't just come and stand on a pedestal and command. He came and he served and showed his love, didn't he? His ultimate example of that is that he died on a cross for us. Because of that, we have the gift of eternal life. That's what we have from God. So what right do we have to keep that to ourselves in a Christian bubble? We don't. We have to explain that. We have to show that. We have to help people to explain to people in whatever the circumstances are that come up. We have to share that gift that we've got. But we can't do that alone, can we? We can't do that all on our own. We've got the example of if you take the coal out of the fire, it goes cold, doesn't it? The flame goes. Keep it in the fire, it burns hotter for longer. And so we have to work together, support each other and love each other, share with each other our concerns. And this will bring strength and blessing to God's church. I'm sure of it. So my vision is simply that we continue to build a Christian community. That's building up each other for the community. Quite often in our lives, though, there are things that happen that give us real clarity, don't they? Some things happen in our lives that give us clarity and they stop us. And I mean, we're going to stop and think where we're going. We heard about some of these last week. We heard about Rich with his job, losing his job. Whereas I looked, as Jeremy Clarkson calls it, becoming unbusy, I think were his words, aren't they, in the advert there. And Ian was talking about retiring. And are you enjoying retirement, Ian? I hope you are in there. But quite often we have things that happen in our lives, aren't they? And sometimes they're health-related issues that come along and go, stop. And we go, ah. Sometimes we think about our waistline. And we go, I must stop eating. All right. I went to Italy with work a couple of months ago. It was fine. But I got up in the morning in an Italian hotel and realised that my trousers didn't fit. What do I have to do? Stop eating, quite clearly. It was a bit of an event, okay? Ooh, dear, better sort that out. Sometimes, though, we don't have these big events, do we? Sometimes in life we don't have these really, really big things that come along, and that's good. We have to sometimes stop ourselves and think, am I on the right path? And sometimes I think we are gently whispered to. Things happen and we're gently persuaded and understood. And sometimes that goes in the right direction and sometimes we can be drifting off in the wrong direction. And we have to think about that. And today is perhaps this time of year is one of those times when we go, I've got to think about where I am. So the second point of what I wanted to talk about is us as individuals. Now, I don't know all of you, and you don't know me. So it would be arrogant of me to stand here and say, you must do this, you must do that. It's interesting because I sat and I thought about this, and I thought, what are the things that we all should be doing? Where are we, wherever we are in our life, what is it that we should be doing? And that reminder that we had in our church vision, our mission statement there, helps us to keep focused on what we're trying to achieve. Building a Christian community for the community. So as we've got to build ourselves up as well, haven't we? We've got to nurture and feed ourselves. I've got four pictures here. Four pictures to remind us of things. Each of these pictures stands for something that we should be doing as Christians to help ourselves. They are pray, read, listen, and act. Pray, read, listen, and act. And I wonder, in all of our lives, and I say this to myself more than anybody else, where are we with our prayer lives, our reading, our listening, and in our actions? In our lives, we ask ourselves, am I doing enough? Could I do more? Am I doing enough? Could I do more? And we need a balance of these things in our lives as we go through 2016. We should pray. Make time to pray. In all of our lives, every day, we should make time to pray, shouldn't we? God wants us to pray to him. We have a relationship with God. We've got a God that doesn't sit up on a pedestal. He's there with us, and he wants us to pray with him. He wants us to talk to him about the good times and the bad ones. That helps us to trust him. And when we pray to him, he wants us to give thanks to him as well. Remember that. Give thanks to how great God is. He made the heavens and the earth. He's quite a clever man. He's quite an awesome power. He's all powerful. Let's give thanks to God for what he's done. For us as individuals, for what he does all of the time. Talk about our concerns to him. Because he's got compassion and love for us. Ask God for help. And trust him. The next thing is read. How often do we take time to read the Word of God? How often? Once a day? Once a week? Once a month? I don't know. Do we read a little bit? Do we read a lot? I don't know. For years and years and years, I've struggled. It's difficult. It's not easy. But we should try and read something of the Bible every day. We should try. And it doesn't matter, depending on where we are, whether that's a verse, whether that's a whole book, whether we kind of do things like cover to cover. And so every year I want to read the Bible from beginning to end. Doesn't matter whether I want to pick a character up or read, but we should look at it. And we should try and take some time to absorb the Word of God. Because it talks to us. It's God's word. And I think sometimes we don't understand. We don't really put the Bible and understand its importance and significance. And we should do that because it's God's way of talking to us in what we do. But then there's something that I don't think we always do. And I've called it listen. Some people say meditate. Doesn't matter. They're words. I don't care. How often In today's world, do we just stop? And listen. You know, today in the world we've got, we're too used to mobile phones, to the media being right in our face. It's the way in which we are, isn't it? I don't have to wait for anyone to communicate with me. I get emails. An email can come through straight away. I had an issue in the week, and I needed to get something fixed in my house. I was quite annoyed. It was a safety issue, so it was of a concern. I was quite annoyed that the British bit of the company was shut over Christmas. That's a fair point, isn't it? You know, everyone needs to have Christmas off, okay? But I almost had a fire in the house. So I got hold of the American people, which got it fixed. It was immediate. It took a few hours to get somebody in America to get on and fix this problem. Okay? Now, God can do that. It's amazing what you can do today, these days. But we don't stop. We're too used to that. And sometimes I think we always expect that the way God's going to talk to us this year, like today, is going to be, you are going to do this. It's a big stop. Do you know, I love the verses. It's Moses, isn't it, when he gets there and God says, I'm going to come, go and hide yourself in the crevice. And God comes past, not as thunder, not as lightning, as a whisper. And quite often we forget those whispers, don't we? What is God telling us? And sometimes we just have to stop and think about what's going on. What am I being told? What's God's direction for me? And that's a really, really difficult thing to do in today's world, because with families and everything that's going on, it's on and on. But I think we should stop and we should listen at times. But the last one, the last thing that we should do, and all part of it, is act. Is act. We are called to be salt and light in this world. That's our responsibility, to be salt and light in this world. And I can't do that by hiding away. I can't do that. I've got to do something. It's about, I've got to do. So we have to get involved. And sometimes we have to dip our toe in the water and try things and think, actually, that perhaps that wasn't God's direction, but sometimes we've got to. Sometimes we sit back and think and think and think over. I know people who've come to this church for years and years and years, and they've been thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about various things, and then they've gone away. And sometimes we have to just have faith, and we have to step out onto the water and trust in God. Did Peter know where he was going? When he was walking out onto the water, he just had to have faith. And sometimes we just have to do that. And we're called to serve. And I was looking for various pictures, but I did like this picture of Jesus washing the feet. Called to serve, to go and do, and to serve, and to support. I don't know where any of you are, and I don't want to sound patronizing at all, but my guess is that all of us in some way are struggling with all of this. And if you're not struggling, certainly with the top three, then the bottom right one, the acting, is can you help everybody else? Okay? Because if you are, we all need help, so we can help each other. So there is somewhere for everyone. Okay? There is something there. And I don't know where you are, but in 2016, I'm sure that if we help each other, and we pray, and we read, and we listen and act together as individuals, I'm sure we will be blessed wherever you are in the world. And as a church, we will be blessed as well. And I give thanks to God for that. Amen. I'm going to pray and I'm going to hand back to Shanika. Lord, I thank you for your time this morning. I pray that you will help each and every one of us, Lord. Father, many things will happen through 2016, and you are the only one that knows what they are. In our own lives, across the world, Lord, and all the things that will happen, Father, help us. We pray that you will help each and every one of us to know more of you through 2016, to help us to get closer to you by praying, by reading your word, Lord. Help us to listen to you, to really understand what your will is for each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to act together in unity. Help us to grow together on our emotions and our love, Lord, in all that we do, Father. Amen. Amen.